Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 181 for Monday, July 16th, 2018, with Scott and Brian. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of The Boop Show. Fantastic to be here with you today. Brian's still dancing. Can't stop that
That's
guy.
Right.
Can't stop him from dancing. That's his
I've been at work all day. I got to get some of that energy out. I sit at a desk.
Yeah.
8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours right in front of that there desk and changing the world one keystroke at a time. Is that the deal? Yeah. And then he comes
home. I'll get that report for you.
Comes home
I still use an old style typewriter.
Oh, good. Do you do the shishink part where you grab the little handle and shove it over?
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
I've made a typo. Where's the whiteout? Right.
Oh, are you? Okay. Come on. I at least have the. I at least keep the sheet that you just put in the typewriter. You get a little white sheet and just put it down and you go. Shikunk.
It's almost
you
worse.
Type over the same letter.
It's almost
Shikunk.
Worse. It's almost worse. Don't you think?
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But you don't have to have all that liquid. Liquid, you know.
Right. You shouldn't have.
We have a dry office.
Right. To me,
why is She-Ra trending right now?
What? She-Ra's trending on Twitter? What? Hold on.
What? She-Ra
stop
is
the presses.
Trending right now.
Stop the presses. We here at The Boop Show, we usually don't have breaking news come into the show and disrupt things, but apparently She-Ra. How do you spell that?
S-H-E-R-A.
Oh, okay. It's She-Ra's coming
She-Ra,
to Netflix.
She-Ra.
They get some first looks out of She-Ra on Netflix. She looks all right. She looks pretty cool. Well, that's an interesting style they're doing there. Interesting.
She's back.
She looks like teenage She-Ra, like He-Man's just barely in his 20s, and this is like, hey, I'm cool too. I'm She-Ra, and I'm
She-Ra.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's your breaking news. She-Ra coming to Netflix soon, ASAP. Not out yet, though.
No, of course not. Well, you know, Netflix is pretty usually quick. Like, oh, we're doing a thing. Oh, we already done it. Just kidding.
Yeah. She's wearing, like, gym shorts. You know those tight, what are those called?
She's got, like, skorts. She has, like, a skorts on, yeah.
I don't know if that's a skort, but sure. We'll go with your pronunciation. I think it is.
Well, that's what you call a skort.
I thought a skort was just a skirt. Short skirt.
Skorts.
Wait, no.
No.
No, you're right. You're right. It's like a pair of shorts that look like a skirt.
Because they got the flap across the front. The flap.
We got to get these girls in here. We can't be a couple of white dudes talking about skorts. We don't know what we're talking about.
We don't know what we're doing.
I don't know what I'm saying. Do you?
We should do a podcast about games.
Let's do it. That's a great idea. I like that idea.
That's
a
good idea.
No. From all this, at least we've come out on the other end with a better idea than we came in with. So that's fantastic. Hey, Brian, I'm here to tell you about what I've been playing this week here on The Boop Show. And that's what we do here, by the way, folks. We dig up what we've been playing. It's not always the hottest, greatest AAA title to hit the thing. Sometimes it is. Back when Brian was playing a whole lot of God of War, that's when you got the most recent there, you know. But sometimes it's like, hey, there's this thing I haven't played in 6 years that I just ripped out of my hard drive and decided to play again. Like last week's Red Faction Guerrilla talk, which I'm still dabbling in. But, you know, we like to keep it fresh and hot and variable. It's always just a little bit different each and every time, and today is no different. All right.
That should be like our subtitle, The Boop Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's variable.
It is variable. This is all I know for sure, is that it is variable. Now, I'm going to tell you about a game called Juicy Realm. Now, calm down, everybody. Let's not get too worked up about titles, okay?
Now, are you running around in some skorts or maybe some juicy sweatpants?
No.
And, no?
No,
okay.
It's not like the brand where they put juicy on their butt. It's not like that.
Right.
This is a top-down, very cool art style dual-stick roguelike where you run through the levels and you kill the dudes and you earn the coins and you unlock the stuff. And again, you know, I feel like I say this every week, but guess what? Scott likes roguelikes. Okay, it's just the way it is.
But it's you say it says dual-stick shooter roguelike? That sounds interesting.
Well, I mean, it's like Enter the Gungeon or like those kind of games. There's plenty of these. Yeah. This isn't anything super new, but... what I like about this is the art style, and in the chat room, I'm showing some kind of alpha footage, so it's not perfect yet. There's some weird collusion stuff. Not collusion.
It came out on May the 3rd, 2018, so it's very
pretty
new.
They're doing some kind of overhaul right now to the systems on it. I don't know what that is, but I got an update telling me about it. But as it plays right now, I think it's super fun. It is as goofy as you might think it is. Art style-wise, it's... I don't know what to compare it to. Very Cartoon Network kind of.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of something like that. Maybe a little bit of like Fat Princess, but a little bit more goofy.
Sure. That's pretty good. That's pretty good way to say it. I'd say Fat Princess is a pretty fair way to say it.
I'm looking at this giant watermelon thing that's making me laugh. Have you fought that thing yet?
Oh,
this
yeah. Giant watermelon monster? You fight watermelons. See, that's the whole point is you're just like a dude or a lady or whatever. In this case, the screenshot I'm showing right now or the video I'm showing is somebody's playing the character known as the botanist, and they've got a gun that's sort of like a plant-based gun, and you pick up other weapons as you go on, but your core weapon always stays. It's always available to you, and that core weapon remains available to you even if you run out of ammo on a better weapon that you've picked up. It gets a little shmuppy in some cases when the boss fights happen. It's a little shmuppy, you know, where you got a lot of bullet hell going on. That's fine. I don't mind that. A good boss fight's good.
I like a good shoot 'em up.
Yeah. And when you're done, you're done. You go back to the thing. You take some money back with you for upgrades and stuff, but your progress is lost. You know, you're not. You're basically starting over. And there's obstacles in the place that you can shoot and blow up. Apples will shoot at you. Pears will shoot at you. Sometimes you'll find a little baby pear, and then it will morph into an adult pear and then attack you. So there's that kind of thing going on. Lots of different kind of fruit.
So wait, when you come across the baby pear, like, do you like stand there for a minute and go, should I? And then all of a sudden it just like goes, rah!
Well, I'm happy to report that you can't actually shoot the baby pear. All you can do is wait for it to metamorphize. So you can't even shoot it. It just looks cute and innocent laying there, and then you're like, oh, a cute little pear, and then it goes, rah, and becomes a pear with a bandit or a bandolero face or whatever. What's that? That's not the word. Whatever.
No, bandolero is a word.
Is that a word? What's the thing you put over your face? A bandana.
No, a bandana. No, you bandana. Wouldn't want to put a bandana over your face.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Levels are procedurally generated, so nothing's the same every time. I think they are delightful, these levels. And the shooting feels good. It's got a fun little kick to the shooting. You get a little bit of fun force feedback on your controller of choice, that sort of thing. I would definitely recommend playing it with a controller. It does have mouse and keyboard support if you'd like it. I'm playing this on Steam currently. I think this is on PlayStation or somewhere else, but I don't know for sure.
Right.
Seemed like it would be. I don't know why it wouldn't be. Oh, there's a dash button. Forgot to mention that. And
you got a dash.
Yeah. It's what you think it is. Blow up boxes. There's some chests. You get loot. When you clear out an area, it gives you special loot, and that loot's random. And sometimes it's really good upgrades on your weapons, or it's something else. Go ahead.
I'm getting a very good visual of what you're playing. But what kind of audio sensations am I experiencing in a Juicy Realm? Is it like this over the top, fast, digital kind of music, or is it kind of like a slow flow? What am I feeling back there?
Well, let's see what this video is like. Here we go. Got some music in the background. Did a little.
This is the way I can.
Oh, this is a guy playing it, so he's going to talk over it. Great.
Oh shit. Visually, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it has nice sounds. It pops real nice. It's not like techno or anything. It's kind of like a quirky, don't starve kind of deal. You know,
okay.
That sort of thing.
I mean, I just noticed on Steam, I frequently buy the soundtrack, especially when it comes to, you know, more indie titles, smaller games. Mm-hmm. They usually offer the soundtrack as an incentive. I'm not seeing a soundtrack, which makes me makes me wonder, is it, what's it like?
I think they're still kind of early. I mean, I don't think it's in early access, but it does feel like they're sort of working on stuff or tweaking things still. There's weather effects that were added sort of recently. I don't know what these system changes are going to be, but apparently they're significant. The boss battles are very challenging. They remind me, they're like a combination of the kind of boss stuff you'd do in, what was the one that came out last year? It was also like, looked like the 20s. My brain just went dead. Brian. The name.
Oh, what was it?
The one last year with the 20s looking cartoon art. What's wrong with me?
20s looking cartoon art. The digital version of The Wolf of Wall Street.
No,
I don't know.
It was none of that. It was not that at all. It was something else. Oh my gosh. Cuphead. Thank you, chat room. Jesus.
Oh, Cuphead. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I love Cuphead.
That is crazy. By the way, you can avoid getting the little baby pears and apples off the trees as long as you don't shoot the trees. But if you shoot the trees, all three will fall off and become enemies. Anyway,
what do you think the greater message is there about you know, don't eat the fruit when it's when it's not ripe, and then eat the fruit when it is ripe? Is that the? Is
I
that
don't know
the,
what they're trying to tell me. It's a good question.
Is there a bigger message here in our juicy realm?
How does it parallel that of the real human experience? You're asking. I don't know. I think it's. It's not trying to say anything. It's just a fun little romp, and I like it. And right. I want to say it was a developer key, but sells for...
It's super cheap on Steam for $9.99 regular price.
$10. Seems way cheap for what it is. Now, you might say, well, aren't there more complex versions of this out there? Yeah, absolutely there are.
Right.
Like, this
but
is
who
not,
wants that?
This is not the end-all, be-all, you know, of this kind of game. But it's a really fun little distraction. I find it fun and arcadey and creative and artistically kind of awesome. This guy's fighting a boss right now, and there's little watermelons coming after him, which is super great. And this is where it gets a little more bullet hell. You can't take too many hits before you're dead. That's the thing you want to be careful of. Oh, now you got to shoot him. Yeah, there you go. Shoot him. Oh, that's satisfying shooting. Anyway, sorry, I'm following the video here. But the bosses are really fun. They're creative. Again, the boss fights are kind of Cuphead-y in a weird way. Totally different perspective than Cuphead, of course. But
right.
Anyway, $10. It's stupid fun for good times, and I think it's worth it.
How long do you think you're gonna be able to play that game? Because I tried to see how long to beat. No details there.
Oh, I'm sure there's nothing on here yet. Yeah, it's too new. I think it's, I have no idea. I mean, there's a bunch of different characters. There's a ton of different levels. Every time you go to a new zone, it's harder. There's more enemies. It's like what you expect from a game like this.
Okay,
what I'm hoping is that, this guy has this on some kind of cheat mode. This was
cheat mode?
Yeah, he's not getting that hurt.
You don't
want
to cheat.
I died after like two hits, so I think he's doing something here. He's a little more resilient than he should be. Anyway, the what was my point? My point is I want to see what they're doing with their big system updates. I don't know what that's going to be or what that looks like, but it seems like perhaps the game has got long legs, and it's just beautiful. It's just pretty.
It looks, I don't know. I'm with you. Just seeing it immediately says, Brian, buy this. This goes to show you how far hiring a good artist will go in selling your game.
Right.
It's very positive reviews, too. Mostly positive.
People like it.
Positive.
Mostly people like it. Developers are active. He just picked up in this video a gun called the Steam Gun, and it looks like the Steam logo.
Right.
And they do a lot of this kind of insidery joke stuff. So when you fire the Steam Gun, it's very powerful, and it has limited ammo. When it's done, you kind of throw it away. But it just shoots wads of money out, as you might expect. So,
right.
Steam Gun. Steam.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Steam.
You know, you don't like
Steam. I don't like Steam.
I love Steam.
I love Steam.
Oh.
Okay. So I just want to say something. I mean, it's mostly positive, but there's a few people that put most helpful reviews on Steam, on the Steam store. Two of those are one person who played 1.8 hours.
Yeah.
Not recommended, even though their pros list was longer than their cons list, but they decided to go with a not recommended. I'm curious Why? Well, their cons are static levels make this boring. Some bosses in same layouts every run. The weapons are a bit too standard for their own good. What are you expecting?
Well, you're cherry picking a review. Who knows? I don't know. This is some dude. Right. Some dude's got his things with it. Like I said, if you're going to go in there expecting just the raw depth that already exists and Enter the Gungeon, you're not going to get it. But right. You're going to get a fun, lighter sort of version of that, and there's nice progression, and it feels good, and that's why I play video games. It's because it feels good. So you're always going to get some chode hat who doesn't like something. I'm not saying... He's welcome to his opinion. You know, he can have whatever he wants. Right. It's way more my jam than his, obviously. I like it.
Right, exactly. I was just trying to figure out why this was the most helpful review. Weird. All right.
Yeah. Brian, tell me about Serial Cleaner.
Oh, Serial Cleaner. Have you seen this game, Scott?
No, it sounds like something I wouldn't want to do to my breakfast. Clean my
cereal.
Well,
you know, Serial Cleaner is it is a 2D action stealth game. I know you love the stealth games.
I do.
Actually, you don't. I thought you didn't like the stealth
games. No, I love stealth games. Are you kidding me? Stealth gameplay, one of my favorites. Love it, love it.
Biggest seller on this game, well, it's got some pretty cool music from the 70s. By the way, this game all takes place during the 70s. I know you have to have it because everybody owns it, but nobody has played. It came out in July of 2017. It is, like I said, it's an action stealth game. It's a very simple concept. You're a cleaner. You clean up after murders. So sometimes the mob calls you in. Sometimes random dudes killing people call you. And basically you stay at home with your mom. That's right, you're living at your mom's house. It's just you and mom, and it's top down. The art style is kind of like, I wouldn't say low poly, but it's like flat poly. It's like these flat, almost like you would see during the 70s in advertising, where you'd have like these blocks of colors for advertisement and things. Mm-hmm. So it's like this really simple looking game, but it's very beautiful. I like the colors they use it with. It's kind of a lot of purples and reds and light blue pastels. It's visually appealing. It looks really good to me.
Yeah. Have you played? So how much of this have you played? I gave it a shot for a while, and I'm still a little bit torn on how I felt about it. How do you?
I played for about 2.5 hours. Now, the whole game, if you go to howlongtobeat.com and look up Serial Cleaner, you will see that the main story takes about 5.5 hours. It is a short game. However, its standard price is about $15, but don't buy that because you can easily pick it up for much less than that if you go to istthereanydeal.com and take a look. Currently, it is $5 on Good Old Games. The lowest price it's ever been is $374. Definitely wait for this thing to go on sale, because probably what Scott was getting was there's a little bit of repetitive play here, and that's probably the biggest criticism that people really have is repetitive play, because it's kind of a unique and fun play, because it is nice to play the role of going up and cleaning behind these murders. Because what you do, the stealth part of the game, is you arrive at a location in your station wagon, of course. It's 1972.
Of course.
And you walk in with your big reflective sunglasses and your mustache, and you can't forget your vacuum cleaner. So you got one of those stand-up vacuum cleaners, which you can activate, right?
Yeah.
And what do you do with the vacuum cleaner is you walk over to areas that have where blood has spilt, and apparently that's how you clean it in the serial cleaner. So you go over up to the blood, and you suck it up, and you clean the area. That's sometimes one of the tasks you have. You don't always have that task, but some of the jobs require you to clean up the blood as well as pick up the bodies. You have to find the bodies at the murder scene while avoiding the police, who are walking around with flashlights, which conveniently broadcast out the area where you can't go to.
Yeah,
because you have to be careful not to get caught.
My only complaint about this game, by the way, my major complaint was the cops. When they turn, it's immediate. It's just flip.
Oh, they are so fast. And that's not a complaint, because once you figure that out.
It is for me, because I like stealth mechanics where I can kind of read their behavior. And I know that you can read this and go, okay, well, they go right every time, and that's fine. But I like games where it's like, oh, he's shifting in his feet. Now he's kind of turning. It's like kind of Assassin's Creed style, like sort of letting me know that he's about to move without actually moving. Right. I kind of like that.
Yeah, like so, it's like some tales. You definitely have to memorize. It's a little bit of a memory game because you do. You have to go, oh, okay, well, let me stand here and watch this guy's pattern. And they always continue the same pattern unless you get to further on, you start moving objects. When you move objects, that may clear a path for the character to start a new, the cops to start a new area where they'll go to and they'll turn around. But you're right, the turnaround really quick is kind of, at first I didn't like it, and it's probably what you was experiencing as well. But then the more I played it, the more I realized it almost felt like Pac-Man, because you know how Pac-Man, yeah, you know, it's like Pac-Man. You kind of could, yeah, you could kind of lead, you could kind of lead them a little bit, and then all of a sudden they would just like turn on a dime, and so I would be cleaning up an area, and I would get through most of it, and there'd be one more thing I'd have to do, and I'd be like, okay, I got this, I got it timed, I've got it, and inevitably I wouldn't got it, and I would get caught, and I'd start all over again. Every time you get caught, if you have like four bodies and you get caught on the, you know, on the fourth body, got to start over. The scene resets. It resets in different positions though, so the bodies aren't, the bodies and the evidence you got to pick up aren't always in the same place. The cops are generally usually in the same place, but it changes.
And if you get seen by a cop, there are places to hide. You can run and kind of put yourself in a closet or whatever. I guess I wish there were takedowns. What I like about something like, say, Assassin's Creed is I love when I find an encampment, and it's like, all right, there are 20 bad guys in there. I'm going to systematically, one by one, eliminate each guy. I'm going to knock this one out. I'm going to throw this one over the bridge. I'm going to arrow this guy in the head and hide his body in the hay. Like, I love doing that. That's one of my favorite loops in gameplay. This doesn't let you do that. It's more just like,
because it wouldn't make sense in the story, which is kind of thin. It wouldn't make sense in the story because if you were knocking off cops, this wouldn't be the, you know, the house call serial cleaner. You'd be like America's number one, you know, America's most wanted,
right?
Instead. But yeah, I get what you mean. I do like that mechanic better. But within the framework of the story, I kind of like the fact that you have to sneak around constantly. You have to get in, get out, hop in your station wagon. Every time you get through with a task, you always get in the station wagon. You just floor it.
Yeah, you get out of there. And that station wagon is awesome. It's got wood paneling and everything on it. Awesome.
It is sweet.
These cops are stupid. That cop cannot see. I'm looking at it right now. This cop has no idea that there's a big fat body hanging out of the back of the car he just walked by. It's like,
no. And that's the thing. The cops are not smart. They're not supposed to be. And it is fun because when you do get in an area, so a cop has got, you know, he's got his little area of attack, and you walk up behind him and you grab a body and you walk away. When he turns around to where the body was at, they usually do a little thing like, huh?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm.
And so you always think, oh, no, he's going to come after me. By the way, they run faster than you. They're just so good at taking a direct path. A lot of the layout is in grids. And when you're running, you want to as a person, you want to run in a certain direction, but they always beeline it straight for you. So they go like the straightest path. So if you have a body, you're definitely going to get caught because you're not moving as fast. If you don't have a body, you move as fast as they do, but they always seem to procedurally take the fastest path. But you can get away sometimes, not always.
So I find
the anxiety of the game similar to something like Pac-Man, where it's just like, it feels like everything's just building and building and building, and it's just, you feel like you're going to just, any second now you're going to get caught. Ah! And you get caught.
Do you not like it, though, when you got to watch a cop turn around three times to know that he's going to turn around three times? You know what I mean?
I want to throw
a little stone in the corner and distract him and have him go, huh? Right. And walk over there. That's what I want. He doesn't do that.
Right. Well, you could kind of do that if you get caught like on the edge of their light and you run and they follow you and you can jump into a hiding spot and you can jump back out. You can kind of lead them a little bit, but it's not as easy as you say, like throwing something. That would be, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but I don't think they're really going to go any further with this game. This is iFun for All is the developer, and they make a bunch of these like little small flat poly looking games. I don't know the word for it, so I'm just going to use flat poly because it's like large flat blocks of 2D polygons. There aren't really polygons, are they?
It reminds me of little pieces of paper moving around.
Yeah, little pieces of paper. That's a good description.
Yeah.
And but I just like the mood and the theme. The music was fun. I like I wish there was more story between me and my mom back at the house. Because it just seems like there's something there, but not quite enough. Also, by the way, when you're serial cleaning, you also collect items at each of the killings. Like one of the first ones is you go to a boxing ring where a boxer has been killed, and you take it and you take the belt back with you, and you put it on your little trophy case.
Oh, nice!
By the way, speaking of the music, I'm in the living room.
It's interesting, right? That's him picking up a body. He's walking out. Cop's an idiot. Walks past him.
It is interesting because I was in the living room playing this game, and I had the volume turned up a little bit. Not super loud, but, moderate. And all of a sudden, I hear from the other room, "Are you watching porn?" And I'm like, "No. Maybe."
This is all the story that happens in the porn story before the guy gets right to the lady's apartment. Yeah.
So the music is very porn-like for sure.
Yeah.
But
well, if that's what you're looking for, good news.
It fits. It seems like you only get a call, though, the way the story progresses. You only get a call about once a month because you start like summer 72, then like late summer 72. Every time you get a phone call, it seems like it's a little further along. So like I said, I have enjoyed it. Buy it on sale.
You know what game you should play? You should play Party. Oh, is it Party Down? Party Pooper.
Party like a rock star.
I can't remember the name of this game.
What is it?
It's like Party. It's Party Hard. That's it. Party Hard. Thank you, Jack.
Party Hard. What is that?
That's a great game. That's on Steam, and I think consoles, they got a second one in the works. I don't know when that's supposed to be done, but Party Hard is like the 80s. Yeah. And it's similar, except you're not cleaning up after the dead people, although I guess you kind of do in a weird way, clean up after the dead people. Oh, that guy's dead. You go into parties and try to figure out a way to off everybody. So, again, that's actually way more my speed because it's like I'm going to use all these creative ways to kill everyone and not get caught by any cops or have the body seen by any onlookers. If you liked this, I think that would be worth trying because it's
have another
similar
game.
Deal. Similar deal,
right? I have another game. This in alpha that I'm trying to recall the name of it, but it's basically the same thing. But it's more it's a first person, and it is current gameplay level. And I'll have to look for the title again. But for its current gameplay level, you first person and walk into a room, have to get the body, pick the body up, and carry it, and it makes you go so slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just like impossibly slow dragging bodies around. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I kept playing it. I don't know why.
By the way, this
game, Serial Cleaner, was in the Humble Monthly Bundle this past month for July.
Oh.
And so that's how I got it. And speaking of which, at the end of the show, we have a Serial Cleaner key to give away to the chat room. So for hang around after the show. And we'll be giving away some games, and Serial Cleaner is going to be one of them.
Don't y'all go nowhere. We got you covered. Okay. I got a game to tell you about that is deeply, deeply disappointing to me. I'm super sad about this because I was very much looking forward to it, and it completely sucked.
Oh, no.
Well, all right. I won't say completely because I actually think there's something there. They just didn't get it. They just didn't quite crack the egg. So, I have said many times I will play any game that is Warhammer 40K Games Workshop related. I love Warhammer. I love Warhammer 40K. I love that universe. I love most video games I play in that universe. I've always quite enjoyed on one level or another. And we've talked about others on this show. I was really looking forward to Warhammer 40K Gladius Relics of War. Which is a way overly complicated name, but they always do that, so it's fine. But it's this thing where it's set in this, in the 40K universe. You're on a planet called Gladius. I'm not sure how you say it.
Oh, I say Gladius every time.
Cool. You can be you can be a space marine civilization. You can be a Necron civilization, which is like kind of robot zombie dudes. You can be orcs. It's, you know, races and characterizations from that universe.
Orc.
And it is a, the best way I can describe it is it's basically a civilization. It's civilization, turn-based strategy, 4X game, Civ, but set in the 40K universe. Now, on paper, that sounds so good. You just want to dig your teeth into that and go, oh my gosh, I want to play this so bad. This will be my thing that I'll be hooked on forever. I'm never going to stop. That's the mindset I was in. I was very excited about it. Got it. Picked it up on launch day. It's $39.99. Not too bad of a price.
Almost full price.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's a PC only game. It's also kind of niche, so I knew it wouldn't be too expensive. And right away, I'm impressed. Graphically, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the way units move around. I'm impressed with just the way it feels. And I'm feeling, man, I'm going to conquer and conquest this place. This is going to be great. And I said to myself, I'm sure the systems are just as deep and interesting as they are in Civilization, the series, right?
Right.
Well, sadly, I was wrong.
Oh.
It's really, really kind of just not, it doesn't feel not janky in a janky way, but it feels unfinished in a content way. It just feels like they're not done yet. And by that, I just mean, like, the research trees are super basic. It's like, well, I want to have grenades, so I'm going to research grenades. Okay, five turns later, I've researched grenades, and now my infantry units can throw a grenade. But also, I want my, some other thing. I want to have a bigger city something, and then I can choose that. And it's fine, but none of them are as complex and as far-reaching as something in Civilization. So that was a bummer, but again, I can kind of live with that. The other problem is very uneven sort of AI encounters. There were times where I was like, this is too easy. I'm wiping everyone out with no problem just by breathing on them. And then there were times where I was like, why are these orcs laying waste to me? Or why did these devil dog things show up in packs of like 100 all at once on easy mode and just lay waste to everything in its path? Like there's some weird AI behavioral mappy weirdness going on. And it really bummed me out because this is so a game I would play and play a ton of if they could just get that stuff right. And it's not like I need something as in-depth of Civ. In fact, quite the opposite. I would like something a little less than that.
Oh, yeah. Civ's a lot.
It's a whole lot. Yeah, it's a lot to eat. This could have been a little more fast food, and I'd been fine with that. But it's so much less. Despite how good it looks, despite how smooth it runs for me, like all of the technical is there, but there's no like proper tutorial really. So new players are going to be like, what the freak is, what are we even doing in this game? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's an odd thing. A lot of the reviews agree with me. Steam's got actually an overall positive review in it right now, which is fine, but I'm seeing my opinions kind of match with like people that do reviews, like review sites and stuff like that, seem to agree with my point of view. Not that I need validation. I thought I was going to get more here and I didn't get it.
Right. That is disappointing, especially when you pay almost full price.
Yeah. I mean, $39.99 is not too bad. I mean, I was willing to pay that. But I'm just bummed by the lack of depth. And there's a million other games on Steam that do the Civ thing pretty well. There's Endless Space 1 and 2, and their other game, Endless Legend, which is fantastic. I would recommend that over this. And I love this universe. Oh, my gosh. I'm just annoyed. Right. I'm annoyed.
I almost went because I also had the option, because I have the, like I said, the monthly Humble Bundle.
Yep.
And included in one of those was... what was the name of the game? Hold on a second.
The
name of the game. By the way, speaking of the last game, I couldn't remember. It was called Body of Evidence. That's what I was kind of first person kind of.
Oh,
like
the shooter deal. Yeah.
Right. Hearts of Iron 4 was what I was looking at. A little strategy looking game that I had thought about. But I've never played Hearts of Iron 1-3, so I didn't know if I would be lost. Oh, come on.
I don't think it's a story thing, is it? Isn't it just like recreating World War II stuff or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. I But I saw it and I had put it in my list, but I was like, ooh, I'm just a little bit too busy this week for a game marathon, mm-hmm. which is what these strategy games are. So so how many hours do you have to sink into that casual game before you finally said casual strategy?
I don't know. I think I got an hour and a half into it and I just wasn't feeling one more turn kind of thing. It's not there yet.
Yeah.
Now they may tweak it and make it better. I got a refund on Steam. I'm going to watch it very carefully. Oh. It's still on my wish list. I'm going to keep an eye on it. If things improve, I'll dive back in. The chat room, Amazing Samurai Zero, says maybe just play Age of Empires 2 again. Ah. That's not the kind of strategy game this is. This is 4X strategy. You win with different win conditions. It's a slow turn-based experience. It's not an RTS. I am not interested in an RTS right now. I want a Civ-like 40K game that's good. That's all I asked for. And what I got is one that's got potential, but doesn't feel like it's done. So time will tell. Patience will be mine. We shall see.
And my $39 will also be mine.
That's right. Someone in the chat also says, S-Stitch, Lamash, whatever. Says Crusader Kings 2 is better than Hearts of Iron. Oh, so watch for that.
I've heard that, and I've actually, I think I might even have Crusader Kings. They have like, it's like two or three. Which are they on? They're on some higher numbers as well, right?
I don't know. Are they?
I see it all the time, especially on, my Green Man Gaming.
Mm.
Losing it.
Mm.
But yeah, Green Man Gaming seems like they have it on sale like every other week.
Well, there you go then.
Pretty good deal. Pretty good deal.
All right. Well, let's talk about Extreme Exorcism. I have no idea what this would be.
Extreme Exorcism.
I remember this was on the Wii U for a long time ago, I think.
Probably so. Yeah. It was originally came out for the PC, I believe, but okay. So this was free.
Okay.
This is free in the July release. If you have PlayStation Plus, you can pick this one up. Earlier than the year, PlayStation announced that they would be ending their PS Vita and PlayStation 3 Plus. So we have been getting two games of each of those platforms,
right,
and then two of the PS4. But this month we had two PS3 games that were also playable on the PS4. So we're getting kind of good there. We're getting good deals there. So Extreme Exorcism is a platformer, and it's a little bit unique in the way that the platforming happens. When you play alone, by the way, you can play this local 4-player co-op, I believe, as well as maybe online. I haven't looked at that part, but it's definitely a couch co-op game that I want to play with my kids. But I was just by myself and I played this one by myself, but that's okay, because the co-op part of it when you're playing by yourself is kind of a fun idea. You fall into the level, and when you do, the levels kind of remind me like a joust, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're
like
very old school, jousty.
Just really
I'm
simple levels,
at,
a couple
of
little
now.
Platforms.
Yeah,
little platforms to jump on.
Yeah, very jousty.
And so you come falling down into the area, and you run and you attack this chair who was going arr, arr, and you attack it. By the way, there's weapons on each level, and you grab a weapon. You can hold up to three weapons at one time, but they all shoot at the same time. So you can pick up a sword, a rocket launcher, and a pistol. And basically, every time you activate the fire button, it uses all of those elements that you have. So you can stack up to three. What makes this game fun, though, is after you kill the first chair thing, this kind of a placeholder. The second time you respawn again, but this time the character you're fighting is a ghost, and that ghost is doing everything that you did in the first level when you first did the first time in your first life.
Oh, look at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I can see
so,
that.
And so what happens is that one has like a little crown on it, and you kill him, and then you come back for more turns. I think these go like either 5 to 7 times most of the levels. And you come down again. This time you have two history points of you fighting and playing and you trying to kill them. And one ghost has a crown and the other one doesn't. Okay. So everything that you did in the first one. So if you jump down the first time and you go nuts with the weapons and start and just start hailstorming, boom, 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 boom. The second time when you come down, that hailstorm right in your face.
It's like it's like almost like when you race in a ghost or a game, a video game where you're racing another car and it was your old race. It's kind of like that a little bit.
Exactly like that, except it gets more and more intense, and you try to figure out strategies. So you go, okay, I'm going to move less. So I'm going to let the other guys come to me. That way, when I fall down, the first three or four times, I try to move as little as possible and shoot as little as possible, so that when I get on the third and fourth, I'm not fighting myself going nuts, you know, jumping around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Do you only have to kill the one non-ghost, the new one, right?
Well, no, they're all ghosts. So you when did this, only the first time you're fighting against anything that's real. And that's like this, you know, it's like this enchanted chair. And so that after that, you're fighting ghosts. Some levels and some challenges only require you to kill the crown ghost, which is usually the one. Yeah, the last one sometimes is picked differently than that. Now, but usually you have to kill all the ghosts on the screen before you can go into the next next level. And then as you unlock that, you get to go to different areas. And it's a little fun. I kind of like it. It's a very simple game. It's free if you got the PlayStation Plus. Extreme Exorcism is the name of the game. It is on the PC, and I believe you're right. You say it was on some other console.
Well, the Wii U had it a long time ago. Obviously, people aren't going to get it for the Wii U, but I don't think it's on like Switch or anything, although that would be pretty cool. Yeah. This seems like a thing I could get into.
Oh, totally. Now, you know, I played it for a few hours just by myself, just, you know, fighting myself, and I was just thinking, man, I wonder what the play would be like with local co-op, because I've come up with the pattern for myself, but you know, it goes out the window when you're playing against other people.
Right.
But the art style is fairly cute. It's not, you know, it's not going to win.
Pixely and fun. Right. Sure.
Pixely and fun. That's a good way to call it.
I'm going to say Super NES reminiscent is what it reminds me of.
Yes.
There's clearly some like particle effects that you couldn't do back then, but it's meant to be a nice retro looking experience.
Well, it's 2015, so you know it's okay, it's all right. But
here's some
I really
sound.
Enjoy. There is like.
Ooh, I like this music.
Music's fun.
Yeah, it seems all right. Sorry, there was what? What'd you say?
Oh, I was gonna say there is at the lots of times when you get to the near the end of a particular level. You'll be able to get like these wings, and you'll grab the wings and you'll essentially look for the big bad ghost or the crown ghost.
It's a little void thing. It sucks them in there.
Yeah,
cool.
So it's pretty cool. I had a lot of fun.
All right, this seems all right to me. I was skeptical going in. I thought this was one of these like, well, Brian found another weird, cheap game that nobody's really want to play. Like, that's what I thought we were headed, and this is not it. This seems all right.
Yeah. No, it's all right. Extreme Exorcism for the PS3, but also available for the PS4. If you got the PS Plus, just go and find it in the store and click it. It's in there.
Yeah, chat room's right. It's basically a little bit of Duck Game, a little bit of, what's the game that's like Duck Game? Towerfall. It's kind of the quality of the graphics.
Oh, yeah, Towerfall. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. It seems all right. It seems so. It's a little older. That's okay, though. Nothing wrong with old.
That's okay. You know, sometimes there's so many games coming at us. There's no way that any one gamer can possibly play it all. And a lot of times we get games we might play for 5 minutes and not really know we want to play anymore until somebody else comes along. Like, you know, that cereal game that I know Scott never played, but I tried.
Yeah. I like a nice bowl of cereal like the next guy. Hey, Brian, do you remember 2011? Do you remember that year? Is that a familiar year to you?
No, I was high on rock stars most of that year. I can't really say I remember much about it.
You can smell smoke and taste blood. So here's the deal. Back then, there was a game on mobile that took the at least iOS at the time. I think it's that I don't know if it ever came to Android. It might have, but at the time, it was a big deal, and it was called Battle Heart. And what made it special, and this is long before the millions of other, the sort of glut of you know, four characters go into a dungeon and each one has abilities and let's fight and all the free to play crap and all that. It was a premium game. You spent $3 on it and you went into a fight and it was like a dungeon run every time you went in there. So you'd like find an orc and the tank guy who's like a knight
the
or whatever.
Tank guy. Oh, tank.
Yeah, like tank, like in a RPG.
I thought you said the taint guy.
Yeah, the taint. The taint would come in. But he would come in and he would he'll fight with his sword and, you know, get all up in your face, which is great. And then you got a little, got another dude here who's playing on this video. He's like a rogue and he's got like a little backstab and bleed stuff and poison and all this. Then you got, this witch in the back, kind of a wizard. She's throwing out dark magic. And then you got a healer who's always healing whoever needs to be healed. And you do a number of waves of creatures and characters, sometimes bosses, that sort of stuff. And every time you fight, you might get some random loot or you might get a skill point to unlock a skill from one of the characters because each one has these skills that you can unlock it, or they have cooldowns. But when they pop, you can hit them and then they'll do a bunch more damage. You can heal the whole team or whatever it may be. Right now,
this was my first experience. The Battleheart 1 was the first experience I had with this game type.
Yeah. And it was for a lot of people. In fact, I'd say it was pretty innovative, generally speaking.
Right.
What they had done is they basically recreated a MMO style, World of Warcraft style raid experience.
Mm-hmm.
But in this kind of like small pocket forum, you drag the characters to the stuff to have them fight. This person playing is not very good. I'm way better than him. Anyway, she needs
me to tell you who is me to tell you who is really good at this game is the person who turned me onto it and is celebrating a birthday today. No, it's not you because that's tomorrow for you.
Yeah.
Dave Michaels.
Oh, is he one that told you about this? No way.
Yeah, on the way across to Nerdtacular year.
And you guys played it then?
Yeah, we rode in what we called the Nerd Bus, and he showed this game to me, and I was like, give me that.
Yeah.
And I played it for months, probably close to a year. It was my favorite iOS game for a long time.
No, it's like one of the most all-time greats. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They made another game later on called Battleheart something. I can't remember. It was a little more involved. It was okay as well, but it wasn't quite this game. I'm happy to report in 2018... 7 years later, they made a sequel. And
right.
It's called the Battleheart 2. It is not all free to play and jacked up like you might be afraid it would be. It is, again, a premium game. I think it's $4. You buy it, nice. Or maybe been $2.99. I can't remember. But you buy it.
$4 is a steal.
You play it. You get levels. You earn stuff. You get new abilities. You play it and you play it. It's amazing. I love it. I think it's great. Now, I am going to make one. It's not really a complaint, but I'm going to make a criticism
right.
that it is. More Battleheart. It is not a huge redo of the series. It is not some kind of, oh, look at the innovative changes they've made to Battleheart. It's not that at all. It's just more Battleheart, which in my opinion is a good thing. So
now, do I like the new style? Because it's a pretty drastic step away from the original look.
Yeah, the original style was a little bit more. I don't even know what do you call that original style. It's something else.
It was definitely more flat.
Like flash games or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I have some video of that, chat. Let's take a look at it.
This is more. It's very smooth. The edges are everything's very round and smooth and.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
This old one's a much more. Like almost like a flash game kind of looking, the old one.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think the new look is very anime and very whatever. It's refined and it looks fine. I don't think the gameplay is where it's always been at for me, so I don't really care for either of these styles all that much. But
the old one really had when you say flash anime, you're talking about that old style of really thick, heavy outlines to the characters, right?
Correct.
And just a little flat looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big thick outlines on the outsides. Kind of just everything looks like what's the word I'm looking for? Everything looks vector, you know. Vector and
vector,
cheap.
This stuff looks like vector.
Yeah, it looks like vector. Vector von Hector. And it's
looks
fine.
Like somebody made this in a vector application of some sort. I hate it.
Yeah. So the old one is cheese bag. New one. Much more refined, higher quality visuals, hand-painted backgrounds, that kind of stuff. So if you're looking for a
but
little...
But it's still the same game. Though.
It's really a lot of the same. It's not the same game, but it's the same. It's the same gameplay. Like if you were hoping like, oh, brand new, whole new deal, the change the world. Nope, it's the same. And that's good. I'm fine with that. I wanted the same. I wanted more battle art. That's all I ever wanted.
That's
and so they've
wanted?
Given it to me. Yeah, that's great. Oh, the Necromancer, I forgot. He can make skeletons, which is cool.
Gotta like which is things. Cool because I like to make skeletons.
It's really good. Anyway, coming to Android, not there yet, on iOS currently. Android version on its way.
That's
so
fine.
Don't worry.
I always, this is a game that always fit well on the iOS. It always seemed to be optimized for the iOS. I've played the first one on Android, if I'm remembering correctly, and I don't remember being very impressed. It always seems to be a very smooth experience on the iOS.
Yeah, that's changing, I think, but that used to definitely be the case, especially back in the day, like in 2011,
hey,
2012.
I play a lot of mobile games on Android.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this game in particular.
Yeah.
I'm not an iOS fanboy.
Yeah. No, of course you're not.
That's what you're thinking.
Of course you're not.
No.
No. Who is in this day and age? Lots of people. Turned
Nobody.
Out. Tell me about Magic 2015. Is this this isn't the card game?
What?
Is it
not the card game. It is the card game, but it's the Magic 2015. That's right. The app from 2015 based on the card game, Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. It is, I played Magic 2015 on my Android device. The reason why is because for the first time ever last week, I played a real game of Magic the Gathering with my son. He picked up some cards, he came by and showed me how to play, and it took me no time to figure out because it was the original, right? That was the first of these.
Oh yeah, it's a CCG games, right? Well, I don't know if it's the first, but it's the grand poopah. It's like the big one. Still
it's
is.
The grand
still
poopah.
Huge. Yeah, it's still enormous.
So, I never played any of it, but I felt really good because when we were playing, battle card games used to really give me anxiety because I'm like, oh, I don't have that kind of strategy in me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the directions where you get a card is so vague and you have to depend on the person who's been playing longer than you that they're not telling you some kind of freaking lie.
Yeah.
But Magic the Gathering is so clear on their cards with what happens and when it happens and what. And it's just so freaking simple. I felt like I was actually playing the game and not getting grifted by my son. So I was like, you know what? I haven't went out and bought a deck of cards yet at that time. And I was like, let me see what app they got. So they did have Magic 2015, super old. People complaining. It's like, when are you going to update this thing? It's true. It's 2018. Wizards of the Coast. Update my stupid game, or at least change the name of Magic to something else. I don't know.
The one area they really got behind on was just good interface, decent like app. Like Hearthstone ate their lunch, man. When it came to that.
They really did. They really got behind, but I really did enjoy the app from the basic standpoint because I got to reinforce what I learned playing with Andrew. I got to reinforce that by playing the digital version just a little bit. So I understood a little bit more about tapping and how all that works and when it works and what you're supposed to do. And so the tutorial, just like the card game, was very easy to understand and well laid out. If you've never played Magic the Gathering, like me, I'm sure there's plenty of people who have. There's plenty of people who have it. And it's, the tutorial is if nothing else, is hop on and play the tutorial at least and learn the game a little bit. You'd be surprised how easy and approachable this game is.
Yeah. And, it's their answer to Hearthstone and Elder Scrolls Legends and all that business.
To me, all that stuff, Elder Scrolls, which is, I love the game, Hearthstone, I love those games, but it always feels like I'm 20 steps behind. I always feel like I'm not playing it right. You know what I mean? Whereas Magic, I was failing sometimes, but I knew why I was failing. And when I was winning, I was like, oh, I know why I'm winning. And that was important to me.
I understand. No, that's good.
It was very clear. Very clear.
It's good. The problem is the deeper you dig into it, the more you might find out that there are people way ahead of you. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Oh, my God. I mean, there's tournament level people, but I'm just saying, just sitting down with, a friend and doing this, and there's decks that are specifically built to grief people who are heavy in one area. If they're heavy in one area, I may pick like a blue deck where I can come in and kind of you know, grief their cards some. Maybe if I choose that aspect, which are already pre-built packs. So you just kind of go, oh, this is already pre-built for me. I just do
right.
it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it boiled everything down to its basics. There was nothing that probably is appealing to more veteran players like in Hearthstone and Elder Scrolls, I'm sure. But to me, it was just a great way to step back and get to basics.
That's good. Basics are good. Now let's get back to these basics with a segment we call Guess My Game.
It's a me Mario.
Oh, no. It's a me Mario. All right. I'm going to play this one. It's from Brian. I have no idea what this is, but I'll play it and let's see if I can figure out what it is. So here's me guessing Brian's game. Getting a very Genesis era sound chip quality out of it.
That would be right.
Okay. Oh, is this Golden Axe?
Yes.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Yeah, I played a lot of Golden Axe, especially in the arcade. Like,
right.
Kind of played it to death. That music. Bam, bam, bam. It's kind of their answer to. I don't know. It's like saying, "What if you had." Fantasy era looking wizard people and warriors and stuff, and you slapped it into a final fight kind of game, and boom, Golden Axe was born. Well done. I feel pretty good about guessing that.
No. Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you guessed it. I've been trying to pick things that were well known, but also, you know, no, I didn't want to get, because I pulled out Croc on you a couple of weeks ago, and I felt kind of bad about it.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel bad. I did a similar thing here today where I picked something I think you might get if you spent any time in an arcade in the 80s, and I know you did. So
right.
So here's mine. You tell me if this sounds familiar at all. It's a little hard at first to kind of tell what it is. It's a little quiet. Oh, that's why.
Is this Beer Tapper?
Nope. But. Wait for the. All right. Any guesses?
I've heard it. I haven't played it though, but I've heard it before. Those noises are. Nightmare inducing. I don't know.
They kind of are nightmare inducing. I didn't play this all that much, but I did play it once in a while. I would probably say
it reminds me of a Western type game.
Yeah.
For some reason. Getting like that.
I'll say it was made. Actually, I think it was made in the West. Here's the hints. Atari was the publisher / maker of this. It was an arcade game. It's been on some other stuff since. I think the Atari Lynx had a version of this. So this is an Atari game. And the era is like 1986, 7, something like that. And the only other hint I would give is that it starts with a K. Oh, someone in the chat got it.
Did they? All right. What did we get?
Klax is the correct
Klax.
Answer.
Klax. Oh.
Klax. Did you ever play Klax?
No, is that K-L-A-X-X? Is that...
Just one X.
One X.
Yeah.
No, but I remember seeing it.
Yeah, one X.
Yeah,
it's
oh my God,
it's
no.
A game I always saw being played, and it was always this, like, almost rhythmic kink kind of sound to it. And the way it worked is these little stupid flipping things that come at you, and it was like a forced perspective. It's kind of fake, but, you know, whatever. Those are video games then. And it would come at you, and then you'd grab a hold of these stacks of these things, and... drop them down and try to create patterns, kind of Tetris style, but then they clear the patterns.
Yeah.
And it was all right.
I guess I see it now. I'm looking at the screenshots. I remember this stupid game.
Yeah.
I never played it because I was like, that wasn't me. I was like, yeah.
It wasn't really me either, to be honest. I didn't really like it that much, but I knew it might be.
It makes some good noises.
It sure does. Like me. Oh, look at this, everybody. What we got here is the news. Quick news item. Nathan Fillion You know, Firefly's own Nathan Fillion.
Right. Love that guy.
Yeah, he's cool. He is starring and is in a thing you can watch right now as Nathan Drake in an Uncharted fan film. And the part that's crazy is it's actually pretty good. People are surprised how good it is. So for years, to give you a little background, for years and years and years, people are like, oh, you're going to do an Uncharted movie, are you? Because there's been rights passed around and people doing development deals and everything. And they're like, well, then you just hire Nathan Fillion to be Nathan Drake because A, their names are Nathan, and B, he's just like Nathan Drake, like in every way. When you watch Nathan Drake do things in that video game in Uncharted games, you always go, oh my gosh, that's basically Nathan Fillion. So yes. do the right thing and hire Nathan Fillion to be Nathan Drake. Well, somebody did it. Somebody actually bellied up and did it. Sony's been trying to make the film based on the Uncharted series for a long time, almost a decade. They had multiple directors, screenwriters joining, then leaving. Latest attempt was to, was actor Tom Holland and director Sean Levy of Stranger Things and Real Steel attached to make the movie. By the way, Real Steel, way better than people think it is. That's a good movie. It should be dumb.
I haven't
dumb.
Seen it because it looks like poo.
It's actually good. It's not poo. Anyway, in the meantime, there's this fan film from Alan Ungar, stars Nathan Fillion of Firefly and Destiny fame. As Drake, Fillion got the wise cracking, treasure hunting, and maybe getting too old for this shit components of Drake's character down for about 14 minutes. His supporting live action, Sully and Alina, aren't bad either. The action news hues closely to the games, even if the bad guys go down just one bullet each. It's not true in the game. It takes forever to kill people. Yeah. Anyway, as the short film explicitly states, this short film is neither authorized nor endorsed by Sony or Naughty Dog. It's a passion project, according to its creators. But they've nailed it so well. Who knows? Could lead to them finally getting off their butts and doing the right thing. So
right. And its running time of 15 minutes is fan films should be.
Yeah, it's how long they should be. I don't want to watch your two-hour fan film. Are you kidding me?
I get the full idea. 15 minutes. Thank you much.
Yeah, F that. Not interested. Go somewhere else. all right. Let's do this right here. We got an email to read, and this comes to us from Bruce, who wrote in and said, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. He said, don't call me Bruce. It's the 1970s, and everyone thought that name was weird. Anyway.
Right. Bruce.
Says, was listening to your commentary on it on all over the E3 episodes, and I wanted to get your take on something. What do you think of the possibility that they may eventually make a subscription-only model for video games? It works great for people who play lots of different games. I looked back. I've purchased 2 EA games in the past 3 years. I, however, tend to buy games, then play them for a long time. Where my fear comes from. I know you're a fan of the Adobe Creative Cloud subscription, and I think for a professional like you, it's great. However, for some people like me who just want something to help organize and very occasionally tweak a photo, having to pay a monthly sub to Adobe is crazy. I agree. You should not do that. Do not pay Adobe if that's all you're using them for. If you use them the way I do for all their suite of apps, then it's actually a huge boon for me. A smart business decision for me to do it. Anyway, I'm still happy with the version of Lightroom I purchased a couple years ago for $150 on Amazon. That's not an option anymore. It's a $10 a month thing or nothing. I'd have paid $240 in that time for the same software via subscription. And if I stopped paying, I'd lose access to all the albums I've created. So there's an impact to just moving to an alternative if you don't like the sub model. Anyway, this lesson in software subs when you use a limited feature set is making me nervous about the future of video games. Keep up the great work. Proud longtime patron supporter, Bruce. Well, Bruce. I think Bruce makes really good points across the board. Look at it this way. If you pay Netflix and you've only watched one thing on there over the 3 years you've had Netflix, stop paying for Netflix. Okay? Just go rent the one movie you watched or go buy it and you will spend less money than you will over 3 years. But if you are constantly in Netflix and going, I'm watching this, I'm watching this, I'm watching this, I took 2 weeks off, but now I'm binging this, now I'm loving this, you are getting your $13 a month worth.
Yeah.
And the same goes for any kind of service like this. So I would say it's really just dependent on that. Now, this idea of saying, well, if I count up all the months I would have paid or that I paid for Adobe CC and then compared to what I used to pay for the big suite, I'm actually still better up on the deal. But also you get all the updates and upgrades Whereas back in the day, you'd have to go spend, shell out another $2,000 for the whole suite. So it's still better for me right now. It is not good for him. And gamers who barely play anything, do not do a subscription. That's a bad idea. This is for people who want to consume a bunch of stuff and not piecemeal it out. So I do think there's a great future for it, and I'm not that worried about it. I just think it's for a certain kind of consumer, and that's it.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to see a exclusive subscription-based game type of market in maybe our gaming lifetime.
Oh, I think we will. I think we absolutely will.
No. I mean, we'll see service, but it won't be the only option. I don't think we're going to be like, okay, no more individual games being sold anymore. We're not doing it. It's only going to be subscription-based. Mm-hmm. Everything's subscription-based. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it could, and it may be that you'd end up having to pick the one you like the most. Like, I think that service like Steam could be interesting for a subscription model, given that they're such a gorilla in the market. I'm more likely to pay for that every month than I would be for an EA monthly subscription or Uplay monthly subscription.
I think the subscription model will continue to grow. I mean, it's taken a long time to actually use a subscription model. The corporations looked years ago, Adobe, Microsoft, these big guys, they looked years ago and they said, oh, we'd be much better off and we'd be much more stable companies if we could get people to buy into subscription plans instead of depending on their fickleness every time we release a new OS or a new version of Office or a new version of this or mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And so it benefits them greatly to offer services like that. And they've been pretty responsible so far by, like Scott said, offering prices that are fairly close to what he was paying before.
Right.
To purchase and upgrade every 2-3 years to keep up with the latest.
I mean, what I'm paying, I am absolutely paying less than I was when they were selling the suite every 3 years or whenever they would do an update. Like, I was having to shell out a couple of grand for that, and I'd have to save for it, and it sucked. I hated it, but it was the way I had to keep up with because I use everything they make pretty much. Well, that's not true. There's a ton of extra stuff now they make I don't use, but I use all the major stuff. Right now we're recording this entire thing. I do all my audio production in Adobe Audition. I use Illustrator every day. I use Photoshop every day. I use a suite of tools from them, and the old way would cost me more than what I'm paying now. If you consider the upgrade cycles. And the upgrade cycles, just you automatically get it. You don't have to worry about that. You don't pay extra for it.
I think we're in a pretty good place right now. You know, PlayStation has their PlayStation Now. It's a fairly decent deal if you're not really playing any of the games and you like that. I mean, it's good. And EA has their thing, too. And just about everybody has their thing because if you can get it to work, it really is beneficial.
Yeah, but again, there will always be a way for somebody who only gets one or two games at a time. There will always be a way for you to do that. They're not going to force you to subscribe to it. I promise you.
Because you know why? Because there'll be a backlash market that'll emerge. If you have nothing but subscription only services, somebody else will come out because somebody's going to make money.
Yeah, let me tell you about Redbox. Redbox swooped in and said, oh, Netflix is going hard to the paint on streaming only. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We'll offer an alternative because we know there's a market there. And there is. It's not the market it used to be, but it's a market that's perfect for Redbox. And the way they deliver it and all that, like, that's what happens with markets. They exactly what Brian said. So I think that is not only true, but I also don't think we get there. I think we will never get to a place where they're not willing to sell you the latest Call of Duty for just money. They're going to do that. But they'll also, for players who are constantly playing video games, I'm a perfect target for this. If Steam came along and said, here's a Steam subscription model, you have access to the entire library, or whatever the stipulations are, I don't know. We could get into those details at a different time, but that's for me, man. It's totally for me. I still want the option to buy a game here or there, right? But I like the subscription thing.
Yeah. Perfect target. I want to watch that 90s film. I just know that Jean-Claude Van Damme is Perfect Target.
Oh, dude, Perfect Target was a great movie, wasn't it? So much action and adventure in it.
He was a perfect target.
Anyway, thanks for your email, Bruce. If you'd like to send in your own emails, Bruce, you can boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. And I think that's it. Or close to it. We're not leaving entirely. Right after the show, if you're here watching live, we've got codes to give away. So stick around and you'll get some free video game codes, including a copy of...
Serial Cleaner.
As well as, by the way, full copy of Doom. The 2016 Doom. Smash hit Doom on PC. Braid, Dungeon Defenders 2, and all the DLC. Or actually, Dungeon Defenders 1 and all the DLC. Doodle God, Poker Night at the Inventory, and more. So stick around. Free codes coming your way if you are in the chat room and you are into such things. Okay. Is that all?
Is that all we have?
That is all we have. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. That's frogpants.com/boop. You can also, like I said earlier, email us at boopshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at boopshow. And boopshow.reddit.com is our Reddit page for those who are into such things. That's going to do it for us. For Brian, who you can find on Twitter at TheBrianDunaway, and for me, I'm at Scott Johnson. These are all on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's
Instagram,
what that is.
Instagram, Twitter, what
yeah,
is it?
Social media, baby. Catch it. So find us on there. Say thanks to us there. We'll see you guys next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.